This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. Well, one of my favorite things to discuss is sleep. And we all know it's important for our health, but we probably do want more of it. Did you know that healthy sleep is not just about quantity, but it's also about quality? Getting deep restorative sleep can help us in all aspects of our lives, from boosting our overall wellness to providing the extra source of support on our recovery journeys. My guest today, Cassandra Carlopio, is a mindfulness, meditation, and yoga nidra instructor who works at treatment centers throughout Southern California. She's going to discuss with us today how she incorporates education about sleep and napping into her recovery work, and will share some relaxation strategies with us. She teaches people how to access a deep state of restorative sleep, and I've witnessed it myself. It was fantastic. So, Cassandra, welcome to the show. I'm so grateful you're here with me today, and I love to hear how you help people really find this restorative rest.
Oh, hi, Erica. Thank you so much for having me. So I found that sleep is kind of one of those things that we all know we need, that it's kind of vital for our health, but a lot of us really don't prioritize it. And So what I've been doing is really showing people ways that they can access sleep. Well, first, actually prioritize sleep. And then Secondly, really access a quality, deep state of relaxation on their way into sleep, which really helps improve the overall quality and restfulness of someone's sleep at night.
And how do you, so like you said, first it's about teaching them the importance of it and incorporating it. Like, you know, I had a meditation teacher once was like, do you brush your teeth every day? And I said, yeah. And he said, okay, well, that's non-negotiable. So make, you know, a meditation non-negotiable, or make sleep non-negotiable. But how do we begin to reframe that relationship basically that we have and turn it into something else? You know, I think everything's so cognitive, but you know, for instance, I have people I know close to me that they really are so stubborn about going to sleep at a certain time. They just like resist and resist, and yet they walk around like exhausted. So how do we change people's like mindset, you know?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, one of the things that I've been experimenting with is really starting to bring in some of the current science and our understanding about the incredible value of sleep. Because I think people really don't understand that sleep now, we're understanding, is like one of the most effective things you can do for your overall health and overall wellness. And that every moment of your waking life, the quality is directly related to the quality of the sleep that you get at night. And the stats now that are coming out about sleep deprivation and the effect that it has on your cardiovascular system, on your immune system, on your ability to regulate your emotions, to make good decisions, your ability to problem solve, you know, the research is really becoming clear. So I really try to discuss that with people. And the other thing that I mentioned that I don't think people realize is, you know, we get accustomed to our normal way of feeling and operating throughout the day. So a lot of people don't realize they're only operating on, you know, half or even less than a, you know, a tank of gas, because they haven't actually been filling up and refueling and getting the quality sleep at night. And then it just becomes normal to be kind of foggy throughout the day and to have emotions go up and down and thoughts to be all over the place and to feel kind of this low-grade tiredness throughout the day. Right. That just becomes normal for people. So I kind of try to illustrate this point that, you know, you can feel so much better, and every moment of your waking life can be so much more enjoyable and clear if you really zoom in and focus on getting quality sleep at night. So that's
absolutely
a few of the ways.
I love that you said that, because I think you're right. People, it's from what they know, and they've been, you know, operating in that way for so long. So they think like, I'm just naturally foggy in the morning. I'm just naturally low energy. And, you know, and then, I mean, as you see, because you work in this recovery industry as well, that I think people turn to then, I need a pill to help me feel more clear, and I need to focus, you know, on work better. So I'll take another kind of pill. And, you know, then we wind up becoming addicted to medications. And this is like the whole society is operating this way. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable.
Absolutely. And energy drinks, the amount of people that I see, particularly in recovery, drinking and consuming so many energy drinks because they're exhausted and they don't have the ability to even get through the day on their own innate energy. Mm-hmm. They have to reach for something outside of themselves to kind of perk them up through the day. And some of the stats that are out there now really show how sleep problems really increase the risk for relapse for people. At night, you know, when you feel like you can't fall asleep, you start to get really desperate for, I just need something to help me quiet in my mind, slow my nervous system down, and let me get into sleep. So then that can really get people, if they're not thinking clearly because they're sleep deprived, and they're feeling really desperate because they're sleep deprived, and then that really can create quite a hazardous situation for people.
I agree. And the nervous system too, what you just brought up, it's so important to acknowledge that, like, we have to start to take care of the nervous system. And so that's why the yoga nidra, when I tried it with you, which was fantastic, and I am so looking forward to doing it again. But at least I'm fortunate to have done it once. I felt like it really helped the nervous system, like, quiet itself and fall into that state of being. And you can tell our audience a little bit more about what yoga nidra is about. But it's that if I don't get enough sleep, just personally, I get sick, like physically nauseous and I don't feel right the whole day. And so I see a direct correlation for myself. But I think so many people, like you said, just they get used to their nervous system being in a certain way and they don't realize how much better they could be feeling. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So can you tell everybody a little bit? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll talk a little bit about yoga nidra and then how, like, you're bringing in the nervous system. It's so vital in our quest for quality sleep. So yoga nidra kind of falls under the umbrella of mindfulness meditation, but it really focuses in on working with your own nervous system and learning to shift yourself from that sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight mode that so many people are in all the time these days, and learning to shift from that state to the rest and digest, the parasympathetic nervous system, and then kind of teaching yourself and your nervous system how to systematically relax all the different aspects, relax the physical body, relax the breath, relax emotions, relax the mind, and really kind of drop into a deep state of ease and well-being. But it really does begin with working with your nervous system. And it's one of the most direct ways I've found of working and shifting, really efficiently shifting from that sympathetic fight or flight state to a parasympathetic rest and digest state, which is obviously so necessary when falling asleep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So for people that do, so like I resisted napping for many, many years I would feel actually more tired afterwards. Now, as I'm getting older and I feel like I've had so much going on lately in my life, I have been kind of trying to take a half an hour and lay down for a moment, or, you know, now I'm embracing it a bit more, but is it good for us? Like, what is your take on it? 'Cause I feel like there's so many different, opinions out there about napping and resting and how long is too long and how little is too little. And I just would love your take on it.
Great. Oh, I'm so happy you brought that up. It's one of my favorite things to talk about is napping. One of my little soapbox things. I feel like if I can bring back the power of the nap for people, then I've done my work on that.
Oh,
planet.
Good. Good to hear.
So, you know, I've got a lot to say about it, but firstly, I'm really glad that you brought up feeling sometimes more tired after you've taken a nap than before you've taken a nap. And it's something that I hear a lot from people. And there's a few things to notice about that. The first one is with the timing. Napping ideally is about 20 minutes and no longer. And people really struggle with that because they lie down and they're so tired because they have a sleep debt, which is something I'll talk about in a minute. But they get so tired and it feels so good to lie down. And then they just, you know, they set a timer for 20 minutes. And then when the timer goes off, they're like, oh, I'll just stay a little bit longer because it feels so good. And then finally, when you have to get up, you actually feel more groggy. And what we currently understand about the science of sleep is that if you really sleep or even rest deeply for longer than 20 minutes, you have the potential to kind of go down into that sleep cycle. So that when you wake up, say after 45 minutes or after an hour, you've kind of started going down the different stages of sleep towards deep sleep. So that if you wake up at that point, you're going to feel really groggy and disorientated because your body's half asleep or halfway down through stage two or stage three sleep. Which actually can make you feel less rested than before you took a nap. So really being diligent about setting a timer and only letting yourself sleep. And even if you don't fall asleep, just letting yourself rest for 20 minutes and you come back out again after that, generally you'll tend to feel much more alert and energized and kind of like you've had a good reset.
20 minutes, everybody.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can kind of train yourself to do it. It's taken me a little while, but now I don't even need to set a timer. My body kind of knows innately when it's time to get back up again after 20 minutes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Fantastic. The other really interesting thing about feeling tired after a nap, and I also get this when clients occasionally will say to me, you know, oh, I feel more tired after doing a guided meditation or doing a yoga nidra. And if you're doing it for the correct time, most likely what's happening is you're actually slowing down enough to feel how tired your system is already. Because a lot of us, we just kind of go through the day on momentum or on caffeine or and on our, you know, in our nervous system in a sympathetic fight or flight state, so that when we really slow down and feel our breath and feel the body and, you know, take that pause, like that all catches up and you start to feel, oh, wow, I'm actually exhausted. But it wasn't the nap that made you exhausted. It was the nap or the slowing down or the meditation that got you to tune in and feel how exhausted you were already.
I love that you say that because I've always thought that. I was like, and I tell clients this all the time, like, allow yourself to be tired. And that was something I struggled with when I changed my life 10 years ago. I was only in my 20s, mind you. So I felt like being tired was horrible. Like I did everything, Diet Cokes and coffee and, you know, and I was then, you know, trying to sleep well and doing all these other things that were counteracting, you know, and everything I was doing was counteracting the rest. But I finally, when I embraced just being tired and said to myself in a compassionate way, it was self-love, you know, and like, it's okay, Erica, you could be tired. You don't need to go out tonight. You don't need to stay up late. You can go to bed at 9 o'clock if you're tired. And I started to really talk myself, you know, through this, and it changed my whole life. You know, it was just embracing that being tired is a human state of being. I mean, we don't, you know, but I think so many people find that they aren't successful people if they're tired. They aren't doing enough. They aren't, you know, going to have the abundance that they want in life if they are not, you know, busy. And I feel like that in itself is like an epidemic in our country, just like the buzz of busyness instead of like having a quality life, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I come up against this a lot with people that I work with. And I've kind of notice there are these cultural stories or these cultural beliefs around, you know, and these kind of myths, like, you know, I don't want to sleep because, you sleep when you're dead. Or,
right.
You know, I'm missing out, or I'm not going to be productive if I don't sleep. And there's almost this kind of bravado, too, associated with just, like, pushing through tiredness. You know, people, like, bragging, oh, I only got 2 hours of sleep last night and I've got, like, a 12-hour day today or whatever. It's kind of this sense of, you know, you're strong if you're able to push through tiredness and you're able to get more done. But in fact, it's a complete fallacy because our effectiveness and our ability to solve problems and our ability to have patience and our ability to regulate our emotions and our ability to think creatively and all of the things that you need to have at your disposal to be productive and be effective in your day comes from sleep. So,
there are a lot of
those myths that just get in the way for us.
It kills me when people say that, and I hear it all the time. I really do. So, like, how do you help clients begin to have a different, like, we call it like sleep hygiene? Like, you know, I know that there are some strategies, obviously trying not to like take your work into bed or keep your computer on. We've heard of all of these, but is there anything like more emotional base that we can do or say to ourselves, or like, you know, how can we be more self-compassionate to like, I think that's what shifts it really is, when you say to yourself, like, you know what, I am tired. I'm going to allow myself to get in bed, not going to bring the phone into the bed. I'm not going to have the TV blasting, you know, just kind of creating that awareness of allowing yourself to like shut down and restore. And I don't know, I feel like when you develop that self-talk, which I think you help everybody with, because your voice in itself is calming. But how do we do that for ourselves too?
Yeah, that's such a great point. Like you said, we all know about the sleep hygiene. Like, we know what the right things to do. You know, no phones, no technology in the bedroom, and going to bed at similar times can help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having the right temperature and no light in the room. You know, there's so many different resources around sleep hygiene. But what you're really bringing in is so spot on with it. We have to begin to shift our whole relationship to sleep.
Yes, yes.
So it's not something that we kind of resist until we're completely exhausted and then we just crash. I'm saying this like it's easy. It's not an easy thing at all. But to really begin to shift to, wow, sleep is this sacred time where you get to rest and restore your brain and restore your nervous system and consolidate memory. And, you know, how you have so much going on when we sleep, and really then tending to it as this sacred time of rest and something that you look forward to and something that you prepare for. So, you know, like an hour before you go to bed, you know, you dim the lights in the house, you know, you turn the TV off, you put like relaxing music on, you have a cup of tea, and you really like start to wind yourself down. So it's almost like this journey that you begin to take on the way to getting into bed, and creating like almost like a ritual around it. You know, I sleep with an eye mask, which helps me in so many ways. It helps keep the light out and it helps kind of remind me to soften my eyes. But it's also a kind of a funny image, but I feel like I'm going diving when I get into bed. I kind of put my eye mask on and I get excited about this nighttime adventure that I get to have, where I you know, get to lie down, get comfortable, and then dive really deep into myself. So you know, really about creating like a totally shifting the relationship from this thing that we push away to something that we really look forward to and prepare for, and then and treat with some respect and reverence.
I love that. I think it's so spot on, treating with respect for yourself. Like, that's the part where you know, I think a lot of this a lot of these behaviors of self-sabotage like bleed into other parts of our lives. If we can't even respect the restoring ourselves, of course, during the day, we're not going to have that, most of us have like that extra 10th drink or eat that piece of cake that you've just worked so hard at I'm not going to eat sugar, whatever it is. It's like, I think one decision bleeds into the next. So if you really don't have the care or the willingness to change all the parts of your life. I mean, I know it's very hard for everybody to do. I mean, obviously, I know there's no such thing as complete balance, but really, I think if you start with the self-loving care about like, I'm going to allow myself and be compassionate to my body and allow my body to just rest and allow my body to restore. And in the morning when you wake up, you may want to work out. You may want to eat better. Mm. I think it all is so interrelated.
Absolutely. Yes. Well said.
Yeah, I try to, I think when you talk to people, especially in early recovery, or even I work with people that have no experience with addiction whatsoever, and they're just trying to get back to, a healthy place because their anxiety is really high, or they deal with OCDs. Like, you don't have to have, a problem with a substance in order to work on yourself. There's plenty of other things. So with anxiety, I just wanted to quickly ask you, I feel like this is rampant. Everyone I talk to is dealing with, it sounds like, some anxiety issues. And I know stress is something that is always going to be around. How do you deal with it yourself? I always love asking the experts of like, what do you do to de-stress, and maintain, obviously you're going to get anxious from time to time because you're human, but what do you do to maintain like that balance?
That's such a great question. So for me, funnily enough, getting enough sleep is like vital to my functioning.
How much do you sleep
throughout the day?
How many hours? Just curious.
I'm best at like 8 or even 9. I'm like top of my game if I've had 9 hours of sleep. So that's really important for me. And then once that's kind of settled, I'm able to really deal with things that come up in life, as they inevitably do, so much better. But the other thing that comes right out of yoga nidra that I've been doing really diligently with myself for the last few years is when I start to feel really anxious or really stressed, first I take time, even if it's just 5 minutes before I'm teaching a class in the car, I'll take time and I'll check in and I'll work with what's going on somatically, like where I'm feeling the stress in my body or where I'm feeling the anxiety in my body, and work with it on that level, the level of sensation. And that, like 9 times out of 10, will like decrease the intensity of the stress or the intensity of the anxiety so efficiently and so quickly, which then helps me kind of get rebalanced. And then if it's kind of like a recurring stressor or a recurring anxiety that comes up, I'll take time out of my day to kind of check in and say, okay, so I've got this stress that's been here for the last few weeks, or I feel anxious every time I kind of, I don't know, getting into my car or something. I'm like, okay, there's something going on. Stress or this anxiety is kind of pointing me to, there's something that I'm not quite attending to, or there's something that's missing, or there's something that I need to do in order to really like bring myself back to like a balanced state.
Yeah. And taking action on these things is so important too. It's, I think by checking in, which you do, which is, I think, building a muscle, it takes a while to build that muscle of checking in. But once you do, and all a somatic work for anybody listening out there is fantastic. Everybody should read up on it a little bit. But also being so aware, if we don't, let's say we know what's causing us anxiety, or relationship is bothering us, or something someone did is bothering us, or a conversation we had is still bothering us, all these things, if we don't move towards solution and action, I just feel like it festers and festers. And that's like what I hopefully you know, help people with is trying to get them to see that, you know, even though it may be difficult to have a confrontation or to have an unpleasant, make yourself vulnerable or an exchange that you may not be looking forward to, those things move us to relieve the anxiety. And so, right? I mean, it's
absolutely.
It's hard when you're not in the habit of taking action.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you brought that in. And for me, you know, learning to calm myself down when I get that acute anxiety or that acute stress is so important, because then you can check in and say, okay, what is this pointing to? You know, what action is being asked of me, or what do I need to do in order to bring myself back into balance? And then you can actually take action once you've come out of that acute state of stress or that acute state of anxiety. Yeah. So it's so important to kind of follow through too and take action like you're bringing in.
I know. I'm happy to hear you say that. Well, Cassandra, please tell everybody where they could find you. Give your website, and unfortunately our time is coming to an end, but I want everybody to know what you're up to. So can you give them your email or your website? Anything.
Great. Thank you. So for me, at my website, which is www.cassandracarlopio.com. I'm also on Facebook under Cassandra Carlopio. And I've started a YouTube channel. Again, if you just search for Cassandra Carlopio, I've got about 4 or 5, I think, guided meditations up there. One specifically for sleep. And I'm hoping to put more up over the next few weeks.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on with me today. It's always like the biggest honor and pleasure. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you all for joining me today, and stay well.